about prospering out in the natural if you're not going to prosper in your soul. You got some misery. You won't keep anything that really God wants you to have when you don't prosper completely. And complete prosperity, I mean, it's way out there. I mean, prosperity, so Paul said, well, one, the Bible says, he says, I pray that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And so we're just going to knock out, because we got so many means, we're just going to try to knock out one little thing today. You ever heard this when people talk about abundance and prosperity? This is one of the statements that you hear all the time. Aren't poverty and lack signs of true spiritual humility? Has anybody ever heard that? Anybody grew up in a church where that was taught, kind of? Everybody wanted to find an excuse why they were broke. And, you know, so they just try to say, oh, it's, you know, the poorer you are, the more spiritual you are. And, of course, they made people take poverty vows in certain churches. And Salvation Army used to have a poverty vow that you would have to take before you could become an officer in the Salvation Army. Poverty vows. Well, it's kind of out there. And so the whole body of Christ at large has this concept that they mark poverty and lack and being poor as being truly spiritual. Right? Well, we're going to talk about that because we're building this case on abundance. You got to take the whole thing. It's a lot of stuff in this. But one of the things we just want to knock out is that we'll never be able to use that excuse again. Amen? So we want to knock this out. So the Bible actually teaches just the opposite. Do you know that? The Bible teaches just about the opposite of what's out there and what you're hearing. If poverty and lack were the ingredients for true humility, okay, then how do these scriptures fit into the picture? We got several scriptures. You know, the Bible should work, shouldn't it? It should all go together and blend. You know, there should be no contradiction anywhere. So we want to fix some scriptures and look at some scriptures here and see what it says. Now, Numbers chapter 12, verse 3.
Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men who were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle.
Read three again. Go ahead. Okay, read it again.
Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men who were upon the face of the earth.
Okay. Now look, check about that. Then let's look at Moses. Now the Bible says this was a very, very, very meek man, correct? Couldn't be any meeker than Moses. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24.
By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
Now, if poverty and lack were a sign of true spiritual humility, and Moses was the guy that gave us the law, correct? The law came through Moses, right? Then don't you think he would have taught that doctrine? Don't you think it would have been one of the teachings that he put in there? Amen. Now don't, out of all these things you got to do, remember, stay broke. Remember, stay poor in all the things that you do, because he was a very meek person. Okay, we see him as the leader of Israel, giving Israel instruction on how to prosper in an incredible way in Exodus. Now, the law that came out, he said, if you do these things, blessed you'll be in the field, blessed you'll be in all these places. So if this guy was the most meek man in all the world, that he was known for his meekness and humble spirit, and, you know, don't you think he would have taught or demonstrated how others could be as meek as he was and as humble as he was? And if poverty and lack is what gave him that meekness, don't you think that would have been one of the ways that he would have led the nation of Israel into those things, the children of Abraham, into poverty and lack? But he did what? Quite the opposite in the book of Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28.
And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth.
Now hold on, wouldn't that be crazy? We're talking about meekness and humility here, and he's saying, now, you know, we want you to be meek, but here God's, now you got to stay meek. Now Jesus is going to come and tell you to be meek, but here I'm going to tell you, if you do all these things, God will put you to the top. Doesn't it sound like he would be selling these people out? I mean, really leading these people in the wrong way? Sounds like Moses was really one of the first. Now, people really don't like it, But you got to study in the Bible and study in the Word. We're going to talk Scripture here. Not opinion. We're going to talk the Word of God. And just make some facts. Come all the 30 days and we'll just blow any crazy notion out of your head that doesn't belong there. You can keep it if you can prove it biblically. Okay? You can keep any notion if you can prove that notion biblically. But I think today, if Moses was preaching today, they would have a big problem with Moses. If Moses got on the television today and told all these people these things, if you do this, you're going to be the head of everybody else. And you'll be the top in your city. You won't be behind. You'll prosper in all the things that you do. They'd have a big problem with Moses. They'd shut him down. They would be nailing Moses for telling people that if you do what the Bible tells you to do, you'll end up on top and you'll prosper. So who was the first prosperity, one of the first prosperity teachers we got in the law? Moses. Read.
28 verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee.
And the Bible says the blessings of the Lord just make you happy on some. Just make you happy. The blessing of the Lord makes you happy. Now, we got an opinion on what the blessings of the Lord does, but the Bible, the Word of God should be our foundation at all times. The Bible says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, that's the one thing about the blessings of God. There are certain riches that you can get out in the world, but I tell you what, it comes with a lot of sorrow. It comes with a lot of sorrow and a lot of woe. I mean, it comes with a lifestyle. I mean, look at our community. Look at these people. They have no life. They have no quality of life. We know millionaires and billionaires that are just miserable. I mean, just miserable. I mean, just keep building bigger houses and bigger houses, and you don't know why. That house doesn't satisfy, so I'll change the roof on it. You know, this house doesn't satisfy, so I'll build another one. I'll build myself a yacht. I'll get all these things trying to find, you know, some type of satisfaction. But it's another way with the believer. God blesses us, but he adds no sorrow with it. And Christians need to know it's okay to be blessed. You know, it's okay to do well, and you don't have to feel bad about it. As long as you are led by the Holy Ghost in all that you do, and led by the Holy Spirit in all that you do, as long as your money doesn't have you and you got it, you're okay. As long as money is not your God, you're okay. Now, Moses was a meek man. But he was also a very, we're going to find out some things about Moses. Everybody thought that you're going to talk about riches. He's going to go to Solomon. He's going to go to Solomon. He's going to go to Abraham. He's going to go to all these people. But we're going to go right, because everybody says now, the thing that we're trying to talk about right now, aren't poverty and lack signs of true spiritual humility? And out of all the people for humble spirits, the one that they spoke of, the Bible says that Moses was one of the meekest men in the world. Okay, keep reading, Rita.
And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city.
Okay, stop. Rich, but the blessing of the Lord does what? Now, does anybody got a problem with that? It's a religious problem if you got a problem with that. Because the biblical definition is the best definition. The biblical definition is the best definition. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it.
Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy cows, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket, and thy kneading trough. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies who rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in the storehouse and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God gives you.
Okay, and he'll bless you in the land that the Lord gives you. Does that sound like a humble person? Does that sound like a real meek person? You know, we have a distorted view of what humility and meekness truly is. We have a problem with that. Here's this guy saying, listen, anybody that comes out against you, God will deal with them for you. You won't lose any battle if you do these things. And we get this concept that meekness means just get your butt beat. Get out there and just let them stomp all over you and walk all over you. But that's not truly what meekness and humility truly is. Let's check out this also, Exodus chapter 3, verse 21. But you need the Bible as your foundation and not religious tradition, spiritual brainwashing. The devil is a liar, and the thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. And the number one ways that he destroys, that kills people and destroys people and takes things from people is a lack of proper biblical teaching. Exodus chapter 3, verse 21. It says, "And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty." And this is when they were leaving the Egyptians to go on another place. And he said, listen, this meek and humble person said, listen, when y'all come out, you slaves come out, don't come out empty-handed. I mean, what kind of mentality? You can find out a lot of person by reading about a person, but just reading the facts. And he said, now listen, when you come out of Egypt, get something. Say, it's okay to be blessed. And this was a humble man. There are some situations, I can get something from this little scripture right here, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Well, you're going to come out of from bondage. And I truly believe that bondage, there's bondage goes a lot deeper than what people think it is. At times, modern day society and modern day culture can be a bondage if it's contrary to the Word of God. You know, people are teaching things that the Bible shouldn't be teaching. You know, we're living in standards. You know, American culture is stay in debt until you die. Stay in debt and buy your house. By the time you're too old to enjoy your house, maybe you can get it paid off. And you're just stuck. I mean, they start the teenagers out. Teenagers barely get out of high school, and they give them 3 credit cards, and they go charge them up. That $2,000 gets them about $24,000 in debt by the time they even graduate high college. And then they go to college, and they got college debt all over them. So we teach them to be in bondage. We don't need to be getting involved with that kind of stuff. Now, I know, hey, it's really crazy, but we really don't. God set us free. And the Bible, in this very same passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says, listen, you'll loan to many nations, and you will not borrow. Now, we were crazy, and we got into stuff, and we got into debt. But you know what, church? We can get to the point to where we live debt-free and without bondage. The Bible says, be in debt to no man, only owe them love. The only thing I got to do is be like Jesus, period, point blank. And that's how God wants us to live, be a Christian. So come out from among them. Well, listen, we're going to come out of this. I claim some of the things that are going on today. I say this is some type of bondage where the people are enslaved to culture. Families aren't coming together because they're cracking the whip on daddy, and daddy's got to work overtime. Yes. Yes, it's just basically a form of slavery. It's basically a form of slavery. The only day you get off 2 days a week, and sometimes you don't even get that. Everybody's so tired to go back to punch that clock. Robots, Monday morning. Monday morning through Friday. And sometimes that isn't even good enough. Then you got to go in more than that. That's not God's design for us. Now, no, we got to work. But God wants to get us to the point to where we're not working. I know this sounds really crazy, but you can get to the point to where what you work for is not literally what you live off of. That becomes seed. There are some people out there that are doing it. There's some people out there who are doing it. Wouldn't it be great if you had another mission on your job that you just go to work because the Holy Spirit said, of course you got to make money. We're not crazy. But if people thought about it this way, God's going to meet your need, but you're just going there as a witness or an evangelist. You're going there to be a blessing. How many of you are going to come out of that? Come out of bondage, come out of lack, and come out of debt. We just overlook those scriptures because everybody else is doing it. We find the scriptures that we want to jump on. You know, we find the hot issues that everybody else is jumping on. But you know what? All scripture is good for reproof and instruction. All of it's good. And that's one that we can all apply to ourselves. We always want to go over to the bush in Africa somewhere and tell somebody to put on a top. But we don't ever want to confront our own society and our own culture about the things that we do is wrong. It's the truth. We live on this way. That other thing about usury. This country, if you just get somebody in debt, I mean, you make more money off of interest than you would off of what they actually owe. You know, that's called usury. Usury? I mean, when you get people saying, I'm going to give you this car, but by the time you finish paying for it, you can buy yourself 3 cars. So by the time you pay for the average home, you're going to pay about $1 million. And that was in 85. You bought a home for about $100,000. By the time you closed out and paid that thing off, you'd have paid about $1 million. It says, now listen, I will give you favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. First of all, there was no choice. He said, listen, when you go, wasn't like, if you want to go. He said, when you go, you're going to go. You're going to get out of that stuff. Whether you realize it seems impossible, you might have grown up in it and been born in the thing. You got that mentality, bondage mentality. Yeah, we can grow, develop a bondage mentality, but you know the church is growing up and people are getting on to things. We're not the only one that's getting out there. You hear it first and you can live it. But there are groups out there. There's some people out there that are living debt free. Don't make what you make. They're living in that way. God will help you. And the Lord will cause you to do that. He says, listen, he says, I will give you favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Well, you should claim the same thing about your life and your debt. Amen. You should claim favor with your debt, the people that you're in debt to. Claim favor that you, I mean, they'll just do something. Who knows? But you'll get favor that when you come out of where you are right now, you're in some stuff. You might think you're okay, but you're in some stuff. We're all in some stuff. And God wants us to come out. But it's not just enough to come out. Come out with something. Make every situation you go into, whether you got in there the wrong way or not, come out blessed. What does that say? God will bless you out of your mess. That's the only way to get out of a mess is to get blessed out of the mess, period, point blank. And a lot of people think that life's supposed to be some form of hell. You know, hell is you do something wrong, and then you got to pay for it right then and there. And they think that's the way God does stuff. No, you just repent, and God will bless you. He'll forgive you and give you grace and get you out of that mess and cause you to go on to something else. Now, they were in Egypt at that point for the sins of their father. You know, they would not follow God. They would not walk in his statue and walk in his ways. They got themselves in trouble. That's how they got there. They weren't just doing the right thing, and then all of a sudden somebody just comes and says, you're going to be, I'm going to put you in trouble. I'm going to get you, I'm going to throw you in Egypt and make you slaves. They forsook their covenant with God. They forsook the covenant of God to trust him and to walk in his statutes and walk in his ways. They did all this stuff, and they were captive. They were held captive by the Egyptians. And according to the law, they should have stayed there. But God sent a deliverer to get them out of there. Every once in a while, God will send delivery people to get us out of stuff that we're just somehow stuck in. And this is something that we can claim for ourselves. Say, listen, I'm in a rut right now, and I'm going to come out of this rut. First of all, I'm coming out of it. There were certain people that probably didn't even think they were in a rut. They probably had it good in Egypt. You know, they could have survived there. They just comfortable. We got it all taken care of. Everything's okay. Not only am I going to get out of this rut, but I'm going to get out of this rut blessed. Blessed when you go in, and blessed when you come out. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of the sojourner in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. The wealth of the wicked stored up for the just and the righteous. That is a common, I mean, that's just basic scripture. That's a biblical principle that's throughout all scripture. Why? Because of the responsibility of the believer. Just because you claim Jesus Christ and going around with a little fish on the back of your car doesn't necessarily mean you're righteous and makes you just. Just because you go to church on Sunday morning, look at TBN 7 days a week, and you know all the latest worship songs does not make you perfect. We're the righteousness in Christ Jesus. But there are several kinds of righteousness. We are righteous in Christ Jesus, but there's a righteousness between God, but there's also a righteousness that we have to walk in with our brothers and sisters in Christ and in the world. Yeah, we're taken care of in heaven, but we wonder why righteousness isn't working for us in the earth, because we're not walking in any form of righteousness in the earth. We want to use our spiritual righteousness to get over on people. How many ever met Christians that think is that way? Just because they're Christian, that, you know, they get the best sale. Well, sometimes true. Sometimes true. But listen, I'm going to tell you what. You will be blessed as you walk in righteousness in the natural realm. You got to sow the seed of righteousness for you to reap the benefits of it. It'll turn. You reap what you sow. Sow good, good will come back to you. Sow blessing, blessing will come back to you. Notice that he said, listen, in blessing, I will bless you. See, but everybody wants to be blessed, but nobody wants to bless anybody else. You got to start it. Say, in blessing, I will bless you. You got to give God something to work with. Turn to Exodus chapter 12, verse 35. We can find out what kind of teacher Moses was. Jesus was a lot rougher than Moses. Why are we doing this? We flow like cattle sometimes. Whatever the hot thing is what the whole body of Christ runs off and jumps off into. Whoever's beating the loudest drum is what everybody jumps on, no matter what the Word of God says. Thank God for the gift of the Holy Ghost. How many of you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life? Now, Exodus chapter 12, verse 35. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, the meek man, that meek and humble little servant. And they did, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And here God is in on this too. You know, here God getting them people in trouble, giving them material possessions that you know is not good for believers to have. Making them proud. Moses is in on it and God's in on it. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. He said, when I give you a stone, if you ask for what? If you ask for bread. And when I give you a serpent, if you ask for fish. Wouldn't that sound trip? Here they're thinking they're getting something to help them along on their way and help them in life. And then God gives them something that's going to turn around and bite them in the long run. Say, God was in on it. How do you can tell if it's good for your children? Did Jesus give it? Did God give it? If God gave it, you can get it. He's your example. There's nothing wrong with jewelry. Now, there's a whole group of people out there right now that need to read that one scripture. You know, there's a whole bunch of people that need to read that scripture. Don't you wear any jewelry. Don't wear any earrings. Don't wear anything. Look real. You know, we got to be modest in this world. Anybody? There's some people out there right now, modest apparel. Don't be like the world. You got to be real modest. And you go through the Woodlands Mall, and which one going to stand out the most as they go walking down the hall? Those that are trying to be so modest are the ones that are sticking out. You don't want to attract any attention to yourself, but everybody just looking. What was that? Extremes. We got to get God's way. I mean, this thing is a trip. The more you read of the Bible, the more you have to let God be God. And it gets so wild. Everything that God does gives him an opportunity to be himself. And it gives him the opportunity to be supernatural. Even biblical prosperity gives God the opportunity to display himself. Because biblical prosperity goes beyond what we can do in and of ourselves. Anybody can make money, but everybody can't prosper totally and completely. God wants to prosper you to the point where you've ever been so blessed you just bring tears to your eyes. You just can't believe it. I mean, it's just hard to believe just how good God actually is sometimes. I mean, that's what God can do for us if you let him. Just become himself. The Bible says, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And they spoiled the Egyptians. What did the Lord, through Moses, tell the Israelites to borrow from the Egyptians? Material things. Stuff. Do you see God prospering the Israelites here? I think God uses prosperity because we all go by, in this realm, everything's based in money and what you got here. And I think prosperity is God's way of saying, listen, forget it. You know, when we look at that scripture, consider not your own life. God's got it taken care of. You know, don't worry about what you should eat and what you should drink and all these other things. When you realize that God's going to take care of you and make a way and that he can do better for you than you could ever imagine doing for yourself just so that you could live abundantly. Listen, I'm telling you what, to do what Jesus wants us to do, you're going to have to be prosperous to live the lifestyle that Jesus lived. There has to be some type of supernatural something going on in order to live that way. Give everything you have away to the poor, he told one guy. Let's go to Exodus chapter 35, verses 4 through 29. The humble man, the meek man, Moses. Exodus chapter 35, verse 4 through 29.
And Moses spoke unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and bronze, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen.
Prime time would have wore him out.
And ram skins dyed red and badger skins and acacia wood and oil for the light and spices for anointing oil and for the sweet incense and onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and the breastplate.
Hold on for a second. Now, I want y'all to realize something. This is an offering he's calling from the people out. They hadn't even gotten to the promised land yet.
Amen.
These are a bunch of people that used to be slaves.
Amen.
I mean, you couldn't take an offering like that in the Woodlands.
Amen.
You couldn't take one like that in River Oaks. These were people that were slaves. They didn't have any businesses out there in the wilderness. They weren't had Kool-Aid stands out for the people that were running through the desert. That just shows you how fast God can bring you out and turn your stuff around.
Amen.
I mean, that's literally from the poorhouse to in that league. God will get you in his league. If you follow God, he'll put you in his league, and he'll do it himself all of a sudden. I mean, imagine if he had said this when they were slaves in Egypt. Just, you know, this is the offering. Somebody come to you and say, this is what you're going to be sowing in about 3 years, 3 months, 4 months, or whatever it is, whatever the time frame is, this is what you're going to be sowing. How about the mentality of people? This guy puts that out there. Read on.
And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle, its tent, and its covering, its clasps, and its boards, its bars, its pillars, and its sockets. The ark, and the staves thereof, with the mercy seat, and the veil of the covering. The table and its staves and all its vessels and the showbread and the lampstand also for the light and its furniture and its lamps with the oil for the light and the incense altar and its staves and the anointing oil and the sweet incense and the hanging for the door at the entering in of the tabernacle. The altar of burnt offering with its bronze gate, its staves and all its vessels, the laver and its foot. The hangings of the court, its pillars and their sockets, and the hanging for the door of the court, and the pins of the tabernacle, and the pins of the court, and their cords, the cloths of service, to do service in the holy place, the holy garments of Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons, to minister in the priest's office. And all of the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit had made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all its service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and necklaces, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Every one that did offer an offering of silver and bronze brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found acacia wood and for the work of its service brought it. And all of the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all of the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses.
Isn't this funny right here when you check this? Now, what was God building? Something for himself, right? But isn't it strange that everything that he was doing for his house, right, he channels it through the people. Did you hear any angel dropping out of the cloud? Was there one angel that dropped down out of the cloud with one material thing for God to build it with? Huh? Did you see that one time? And that's when God was splitting the sea. They didn't have that kind of stuff going on back then. But today, that's what people expect to happen in the body of Christ today. We found out on one of those teachings that the Queen of Sheba's offering was $63 million, valued at $63 million. The value of the Queen of Sheba's offering was $63 million. And he gave that back, didn't he? And gave her one. We can really learn some things from here. Notice that he was building his temple, and everything he built went through the people. And there's one thing that just cracks me up here when I read this. And the people brought a willing offering. Isn't that hilarious? I even think that's funny. Why do I think that's funny? I mean, what choice you have? He gave you all the stuff. Where did they get it? What, like they sweated and worked for it and did it in their own labor and their own? That's how we are sometimes. You know, listen, what you work for, guess what? What you work for, sweat for, you think you did it, keep it. You're going to need it. The Lord said, out of all your increase is what you sow on. They got stuff that God gave them, so it was no question about it. See, people that know what God does in their life have no problem sowing and giving when they know what the Lord can do. See, they were already taken out of a lake. Many people are not givers, and they don't understand the issue of giving. It's because they've never had God touch them. They haven't allowed God to get to them and get a hold of them and do things that only he can do. When God sows you, it's easy to sow out. I mean, once you get into prosperity, you catch a person that's been prospered by God, they have no problem. They say, listen, I've learned that God is always sowing, always giving. I'm not afraid. I can afford to let it go. You know, I'm serious. You know, y'all think this is really funny? I really believe this. Easy come, easy go, and easy come again. I'm serious. If you hang around me, you will find that out. You know, easy come, easy go, and easy come again. And your lifestyle, my lifestyle has never changed as it's been gone and as it's come. It does. I mean, I can live consistently through the whole thing. If I feel led by the Holy Ghost to do anything, guess what? It's done. And you know what? I'm still rolling. And you can still roll too. They brought a willing offering. Why were they willing? It's because they knew what God had already done. I mean, they really didn't matter that much. They brought a willing offering. Well, they were willingly offering what God had... What God had given them. We don't know how much they got, how much they actually had to keep for themselves, but he just said, look, bring all this stuff. So we also know that the children of these people in the wilderness, these slaves, we get these pictures of children with these old slave rags on, moving through the wilderness, just singing Jewish songs and beating tambourines. Them people were packing, you hear me? They were blessed. I mean, they were blessed. They were blessed. So God will bless you even on the way to where you got to go. You don't have to get to the promised land necessarily to be completely blessed. He can bless you on the way. We haven't arrived there yet. I mean, we haven't arrived there yet. Nobody's gotten there. We're on the way. And as we're on the way, we can have a little fun going. Do we see a doctrine of lack? In Moses' command to the Israelites, is there any doctrine of lack there anywhere? Any? Anywhere? Nowhere. We're just getting this to build the case, to let us get in league what God does, you know, and how, I mean, when we see biblical things biblically. Now, of course, we're in the Old Testament, and someone says, well, that's just the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and all this other stuff, you know, just nice story. Wait till we get over to the New. My. Wait till we get over to the New, and we're going there. In this series, we're also going to look at Jesus. We're going to look at Jesus biblically and see how broke was Jesus and how poor was Jesus. Okay? If he was. All these little things. You better take notes. Exodus chapter 36, verses 3 through 7. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that brought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they had made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough. My Lord. Wow. Isn't that awesome? People that know what God did for them, people that get blessed, do move in this kind of arena. When you haven't seen what God can do, yeah, you hold on to everything you got. I mean, you do. You really do. If you haven't had anything, if you haven't had God move in your life, brother, I mean, they're going to have to get crowbars or pry a candy bar out of your hand. I mean, seriously, you pull out a tip card when you go to the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Gotta be frugal here. Wouldn't want to bless anybody beyond measure. So the people brought more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing.
Glory!
My Lord.
Glory to God.
Oh, my word. How many like church where that happens, where the people are so blessed and they give so much that they say, look, I'm tired of moving this stuff. Stop bringing your stuff. We got more than enough to do it. They restrain the people from bringing stuff. Today you need a cattle prod. I'm serious. We need to get the same God they had.
Amen.
Same faith they had and walk in that same light.
Yes.
I guess when you follow God anywhere, when you follow God by faith, when you walk out of Egypt and decide to follow God, that kind of stuff happens for you.
Amen.
Had to restrain the people. I've known, you know what, that is true. I have seen that here. I'm not going to lie. I really have seen to where people have to be restrained. There's some people that really, we have to restrain them. You know, we got those kind of givers. I mean, boy, they'd give their shirt if they had to. I mean, some people just get crazy about it. Some people do need to be restrained. How do you restrain? We had to restrain the people one time and tell them how to give a free will offering. You have to pray before you, beside the tithe, you have to pray and find out what the Holy Ghost wants you to give. And then you follow the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit says do this, and you do something other than the Holy Spirit didn't tell you to do, then you're out of the will of God. Hear the Holy Ghost. So sometimes we do need some biblical restraint. If you didn't come with an intention to give this morning, you need no biblical restraint. I'm serious. I mean, you're out of, don't even put yourself in the same league. There's such a thing as a giver. So the people were restrained from bringing. That's where we should all want to get. Where the Holy Ghost has to tell them, that's enough. Over here, over there. Watch it now. For the stuff they brought. That's a big problem with Christians today and people today. Nobody likes the word stuff. Everybody wants to get spiritual. Nobody wants to talk about stuff. But I thank God that when we were in trouble, Jesus didn't stay spiritual up in heaven, but he materialized himself and came in a body and did something about it. Everybody wants God to move in a natural way, but they want to stay in some spiritual cloud someplace. Write the word stuff. One of the words that you need to study about abundance, it's called substance. Substance. What a powerful King James word, stuff. And the stuff they had was so sufficient for all the work to make it, and what? And what? And what? When God is in something, you always get what? Why is it too much? Because his name is Jehovah El Shaddai. Now, I know it, Jehovah Jireh, my God, my provider. When I'm in a mountain, that's wonderful. But I'm coming down from the mountain, I need El Shaddai.
Amen.
The God that is more than enough. God was involved with this. And one of the names of God is Jehovah El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. And that's what God, you're going to find out through this series of teaching. You're going to have a come, even if you want to argue about it, you're going to find out that abundance in dealing with God, God will get you in the point to where you have more than enough that you know what to deal with.
Amen.
Not scratching and clawing, more than enough. And you got to find out where abundance is flowing in your life. I'm not just talking about more than enough friends. To where you have to be stewards. Find out where the blessing of the Lord is, and the blessing where you have more than enough is what you want to minister to others with.
Amen.
When we started out in the ministry, we have more than enough computers.
Amen.
We had abundance of computers. Any technological thing you thought of, we had more than enough of it.
Amen.
Anything you have more than enough of, make it a ministry.
Amen.
then it'll catch something else. God never announced anywhere in the Bible, "For I am the God of just enough to get by." Remember that statement, but I need to write that down. "For I am El Shaddai, the God of more than enough, not El Cheapo, just enough to get by." The Israelites were so wealthy and generous that Moses had to take drastic measures to stop them. When was the last time that we ever saw that happening in our day and time? If poverty and lack were a part of God's plan, could there be any offering as described in this book? No. Psalm chapter 84, verse 11. "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." If we walk uprightly before the Lord, and we are we promised poverty and lack when we walk uprightly? No. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. Humility. Humility. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. Humility. You trying to be humble and give it all away, God will fix you for it. The Bible says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are" what? "Are riches and honor and life." Now, isn't that a contradiction? Now, I thought when you're humble and you're meek, you're broke. And you're poor. That's one humble person. No, that's not a humble person. That's a broke person. Because I know, I used to work for the Salvation Army for 7 years. And I tell you what, just because you don't got no money does not make you automatically humble. There were some proud people coming through those lines. I tell you what. I mean, you were slow putting their basket together. They let you know. What do humility and the fear of the Lord produce in a person's lives? What do they produce? The fear of the Lord and humility. When you walk in true biblical humility and you walk in the fear of God, you stay humble. I mean, you stay humble. You stay under the word of God. You know, you honor God in all that you do. You don't think that it's yourself doing these things. You know it's the Holy Spirit, and you know that it comes and goes, and just as quickly as it goes, it'll come back. It will cause you to walk humbly. You don't get upset about stuff. It will cause you. It will bring riches and honor and life. Now listen, if true humility meant one was to be poor, could this verse be true? No. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. The Bible says what? "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Wow. "And the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." Will meek and humble ones inherit poverty and lack? Will they inherit poverty and lack? I mean, we should just go around to people. "You're doing so good, sister. You're just growing. You just keep coming to church. God will have that house in no time. He'll get that house out of your hand. You'll be free." Praise God. "You just keep praying. You'll have holes in those bottom of those shoes sooner or later. And you'll be just, oh, God's doing a great work, isn't he? Hallelujah." You know, then God would be like drugs, wouldn't he? Drugs will take everything from you. You know, a tree by the fruit it bears. Just like a crack bottle. People just like a crack pipe or whatever it is, you know. God's like a crack pipe. You hang around God, sooner or later, you'll be selling everything you got, and you'll be there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means that every crack addict out there would be humble before God. Woo, heaven's going to be full of that. See how the devil is? The devil loves to teach. I believe the devil goes to church and just gets in certain places and gets in stuff, you know, and I believe he's in there just rolling, thinking about those things. So those that are meek and humble will inherit what?
The earth.
The earth. Praise God. And then one time when God said, "Listen, take everything you got and give it away to the poor," and Jesus said right after that, but the guy didn't hang around long enough, listen, he would have gotten so much more in this life. Wouldn't that have been just like Jesus? To say he would have got, if he would have given those things around, I would have given him all his stuff, then he would have really been in trouble. We are learning. So we know that it's okay. It's absolutely fine to have riches, wealth, and honor and humility. I had one brother, one guy that talked to me when we first started teaching some of these things
a couple years ago, and the guy literally sat in the car and went and said, I don't want to prosper beyond measure because I don't want to fall away from God. Now, there was one scripture in the Bible where the guy says, give me neither poverty nor riches. You know, so if I get one, I'll do this. I'll get the other, I'll go the wrong the other way. But I want you to read the type of person that was saying that. It tells you that he says, for I'm a vile. He was a foolish person. Okay? But there was one guy that said, listen, I don't want a bunch of stuff because I don't want to be held accountable for that, and that might mess up. I said that is ridiculous. I said, you should be ashamed of yourself. He goes, why? He thought I was going to say, oh, you are so spiritual. You're the most humble person in all the world. I said, then why don't you just get your act together to where you can God can trust you with some money? You know, can't you stand? Don't you think it would be more integrity to have yourself be blessed to the point to where God can trust you? Amen. That means you're a cheapskate with $10. That's disgusting. I mean, money is not going to do anything but amplifying what you already are. You can be a wicked $5 person as well as a wicked $5 million person. So bless the Lord. It's taken care of. Poverty, write this, that poverty and lack are not the signs of true spiritual humility.
We bless your holy name.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in The Woodlands, Texas.